that our honor it is. You know, it's really an honor to realize later that we're reaping the fruit and the harvest that was sowed years and years back in there. And we're just continuing. That's the path in the hand of God. He's always continuing what others had previously sown. And we didn't go down there cutting new ground. The ground had already been plowed. And we were going down there faithful. And I just want to acknowledge and recognize Jeff Nickel, who has been in there. I don't know where you were. I was thinking yesterday, where was I 25 years ago? I ask each one of you, where were you 25 years ago? And I remember where I was at. I was in the slop of the pit, handcuffed in sin and wretchedness, blind as can be, blind. And by God's grace, he rescued me in prison. Prison was God's highest love for me. And now the honor of going in for him, you know, in Isaiah 55:11, he says his word is going to go forth. It shall prosper where he sends it. And he is sending the word. There was 30, maybe 40 salvations. We didn't just line them up, but it just flowed. We let it flow. We asked the Holy Spirit to lead, to guide. We didn't want to have. God started preparing our hearts in January. He was putting together a team. I had an idea what I thought the team might be, but God kept saying, no, this is going to be added. This one might not be able to make it, but the team that he did send, we prayed, and we prepared our hearts for unity. In Psalms 133, the Lord speaks, and it's so true. How good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. He says, like the oil that ran down Aaron's beard, Aaron representing Christ, the anointed one, not only flowed down his beard, but all the way to the end of the garments. And that means it flows into the body. Everywhere Aaron went, the garments went, the oil went, the anointing went. And that's what we really did. We didn't preach down at these men. You know, there was a revelation came upon me as I was walking in there that, listen, this could have been any one of us. This could have been me. If I was born in that environment, we can't choose if we're born white, black, or Spanish. You can't choose the economy that you're going to be born in or even under the government you're born into. And I really believe that I just shuddered to think the way that I lived and reacted in life, I would be in there for life. I would be in there for life. I know that the way that I lived, in God's grace, of I didn't get all the charges that I... Anyways, but today, if we could, we're going to have the five brothers come up. If they can, well, they'll be ready. Let's go ahead and show the slide video, and then the brothers will testify. Amen? For God's glory. Amen.
Amen. Let's worship him together.
Is the Lord and most worthy of praise, the city of our God, the holy place, the joy of the whole earth. Great is the Lord. Us against the enemy. We bow down on our knees. And Lord, we want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done. Trust in you. enemy. He aids us against the enemy. We bow down on our knees. We bow down on our knees. Come on, church. Lift it to the Lord. Lord, we want to lift your name.
Wow. I remember a couple of years ago, and in prison, and I come out of the chow hall one day, and there's Gideon gentleman standing out there and handing out Bibles. I'll never forget that. And I thought, wow, what an experience would it be to do something for the Lord. You know, instead of always being such a taker, you know, and a thief. And then I had the opportunity, amen. And it was absolutely amazing. That was beyond words, amen. I just like to thank Pastor Joe for the opportunity and Miss Charlotte, you know, and just being the servants of the Lord as they are. I mean, all they want for us is to fulfill our ministry in the Lord, you know, for our betterment. It's not about them at all. And I've never been anywhere and experienced the love in a church like this anywhere. It's just absolutely incredible. And I just praise God for that. I don't know why I got to be first, but anyway, thank you, Patrick. I thank you all so much for your prayers. They were all felt everywhere, and for all your love that was poured out and your generosity and through everything. You could feel the presence of God from the time we gathered at the dorm all the way through, just the blessing and the favor of the Lord all the way through it. And it's gonna be spoken, but we brought in almost 500 pounds worth of supplies, you know, and there was No problems at all. It was incredible. You know, Walmart blessed us with the bags that carry it down there. It was just one thing after another. Customs, they just didn't really say much about anything. I mean, they charged us $14 for all of it, and then even when we got to the prison with all this stuff, we got these big black bags. I mean, they're this big, and we just walk right through the prison with all this stuff, and it's like, wow. You know, so it was really cool. But what was so beautiful is when we got there, Patrick said, let's share our testimonies and then just see where the Lord leads us from there. And as we did that, and each person there could identify with our past and what God has brought us through and has saved us from, and you know, and what we've overcame, you know. And just to let them know, you know, for some of you know, as some many of you don't, but I was abused as a child, and when you share that with others, I mean, they have no idea. I mean, because I sat there myself thinking, God, I'm the only one, you know, and you're afraid to you don't want to say that to anybody because of the shame that Satan has beat you down with for all your life, and the guilt and all the remorse. And but when you share that, then it opens up that door, you know, and oh, it was just beautiful. God, it was just incredible. So I had my group of guys, you know, and even some of them that didn't, that identified with others, with Patrick or David or Gerald or Tyler. And even though they had that in their past, they weren't able to share with me, but they were able to open up. They were able to open up with one of them. And to close that door, you know, and to see it for what it is, that it's just an attack from the enemy, and he wants to keep you in that state, you know. And about children, you know, I mean, God, Satan always, he tries to destroy children. I mean, I praise you guys that are so involved with TKO, and man, you know, because Satan, when he tries to destroy that spirit as a child, I mean, he's got you, you know. He's got you. He doesn't have to worry about you pretty much anymore after that, you know, because you're not seeking him anymore. You're not seeking God. You continue to receive that, and you continue to walk in that. And it was just such a blessing to be used by the Lord. It was just so incredible. If you've ever, we had an opportunity on the last day to give out some of our personal stuff, and that was really neat. So you're watching throughout the week, and you know, and who the Spirit is leading you to. And if you've ever had any ungratefulness in your heart, I looked at this one brother, and he had on these pair of flip flops, and all my other stuff that I'd already given away, and I just had my personal flip-flops, you know, that I planned on wearing out. And I looked down at his feet, and I thought, oh, my goodness. And so I took him in the back room, and it was so beautiful. I set him down on his bed, and I got down on my knees, and I took his feet in my hand, and I just prayed over him, and I put my sandals on his feet, and I wore his out. But I mean, if you've ever had any ungratefulness in your heart, just picture these shoes and then try to walk in them. Try to walk in them every day. I wore them for about 2 hours in the prison. Oh my gosh, it was I couldn't wait to get them off. Amen. But at the same time, I can't wait to go back to wear another pair of shoes out, you know. It was such an incredible blessing. I'd just like to lift up Jeffrey. for all that you've done down there, and what the small part that we see of it is just, that's all it is. It's just such a small part. I mean, it's just so much blessing, and I mean, it's beautiful. But Jeffrey, he's in it. He's in it. He's in it for life. I mean, God has called us all, not just for a short time in our life, but to commit our whole life to Him. And I just commend you, Jeffrey, for all that you've done down there, and all that you continue to do. And I just pray that God will continue to pour out His blessings over you and your family, and to just continue to love on you the way He has. And I pray that maybe even one day, maybe I'll be able to fulfill your shoes down there. I don't know. I don't know what God's got in store, but I know it's going to be good. And and he needs a lot of help, Jeffrey does down there. I mean, they need counselors, and he faces a lot of opposition. He needs a lot of prayers. So just please continue to pray for Jeffrey down there and his family. I don't know. There's a ton to say, but I'll save it for everybody else. So I love you, and thank you all so very much. Amen.
Thank you, John. As Tyler comes, again, you just need to kind of picture again, Belize is not like America at all. We are so conditioned to think that everybody lives like we do here. There's a Walmart around the corner, and gas, I believe the fuel down there is $12 a gallon. And just a note before Tyler says anything, that even in America, a lot of us guys that landed in prison, there was almost a natural hope that the world, you could get back out and kind of bounce back up and go with the way of man and make it. But in Belize, there's really a cultural stigma that once you've ruined the family name, once you've ostracized, the family ostracized you, once you've made the name of the family bad, you're wrote off. That's it. They don't want you to even write. They don't want you, unless, of course, they would be Christian. But so it's even a doubly tough thing to come up out of prison and really find the path of God. And that's one of the things we really tried to stress to them through the Word of God, that if you seek the Lord first, not where you're going to go work or who can help you, but God's parole plan, God's direction, the supernatural life, God will lead you in the way. And that was one of the things we really tried to instill into the men there. Brother.
Thank you. John was complaining about coming first. Now I got to follow him up. I think second, maybe a little tougher. But just to touch on what Patrick was saying about the men there and their families kind of rejecting them, I think it goes, you know, the hope is in what Joe said this morning. Their current situation is not what their future hope really is. And that's the Lord is changing lives in that prison. And as he's raising up missionaries and pastors and evangelists out of that prison, that's going to change. And families are going to get saved. And people are going to see that the gospel is the same power of God unto salvation as it is in the battlefield, in the prison cell, on the streets. It's the same power of God. And I think going there really opened my eyes that the sin has the same destructive power over the lives of these men as it does in America and worldwide. And again, the gospel is the answer. The gospel is the power of God that was changing lives there. So going into the trip, I remember my second week at Calvary Commission, we had our prayer conference in September, and Jeffrey came and spoke, and I knew I'm called to Belize. I can't wait to go to Belize. So it wasn't a question of if I was going to go. It was a question of I don't know how I'm going to get there. Lord, I don't see the support coming. I don't see the finances. I think in January I made like $10 towards the trip. And by time to leave, I was able to not just pay for the trip, pay for tuition, just the Lord was paying for so much. We were able to take in, like my brother said about the supplies, 500 pounds of supplies. There's a place called the King's Storehouse, and I was able to, through support that had come in, nothing of my own money, just support that had come in, the Lord just showed me that he wants to make us all stewards. He wants to make us all stewards of his gospel first and foremost. And then when we handle that well, just with the people we're around, then there's so much more he wants to do. And I never would have thought that I would be flying into a foreign country to bring the gospel into the prison there. And it was awesome. It really was a life-changing experience. We taught mainly on true repentance, on forgiveness. We taught on communion. And we taught on the sacraments, taught on baptism. And I think the Lord used all of us in a mighty way during preaching. There was times I would get up to speak, and I had no idea what I was going to say. I just had felt a block in my studies. I had a ton of things just spread out, but nothing solidified like that I know this is what the Lord wants. So we just get up there and the Lord would always work. Like my brother shared, we all shared our testimonies. And then the guys would just kind of flock to us because they identified with us. And your testimony is powerful, and you would be surprised as when you tell your testimony to someone how much it touches their lives and what it opens up for you to bring the gospel just right there at that connection. It's really powerful. So most of the guys that I had in my small group were young men. Almost all of them had drug addiction in their past. One guy, to look at, you know, just to give you a hint of what he was struggling with, his wife was in an affair, and the man was living in his house with his kids while he was in prison for assaulting that man. And when he got out, the only place that he could go was his own home where this man was. So this is the deal, is that these guys come with burdens and scars and hurts, and they're just beginning. When they come to Tango One, they receive the gospel, and many of them got saved at this trip. We would sit down. I had my guys, even small group, I had to have them come one-on-one, and I'd get one-on-one with them and find out, you know, do you know that you know? Do you know Jesus? And many of them, you know, they thought, well, because I'm in Tango One, I'm in a Christian-based dorm, I must be saved. This is what it's about. And so you would give them the gospel, and they would make that confession of faith. They would receive the Lord right there. It was just powerful times, and they were all very needy. But this one man, like I said, and for all of them, they have a huge battle to face now when they're getting out. So your continued prayer is extremely necessary. And as I was kind of preparing this morning, just praying, and I just asked the Lord, what would He want to speak about this trip? And because the trip blessed those men there. I mean, you should have seen all the hot dogs we had with those guys. And before I get into this, we had an awesome time praising the Lord with these guys. You should have seen these men, how they praised the Lord. It's not like they weren't standing in church just singing, you know, and singing. They were yelling. They were getting into the songs. They were loud. Their praise was powerful. And Friday we decided, you know what? We're not going to just stay inside. We're going outside. We're going to go praise the Lord out in the prison yard. So we got out there and we circled up. We had a big circle and we sang a few songs and kind of were getting into it. And you know, I'm looking around, and you've got on the other side of the fence in the separate parts of the prison, it's not a very big prison. It's probably about the size of 3 football fields altogether, maybe. And so over on one side, you've got the normal units where there's men going back and forth, and you don't know what they got going on there. Could be drugs, could be anything going on in that side. And then right over here is you've got lockdown where that's 24 hours a day, one man cell. You know, you're not even seeing the light of day, but you can hear. I believe that they could hear our praises out there. And we were out there, and the guys started. You got one guy, he's wearing turtle shells, and he's banging on like drums. You got 5-gallon drums, buckets, and they're praising the Lord, and it just gets louder and louder. And then we come together, everybody's dancing and singing and praising the Lord. And I feel like this goes into what the word says. It's peace is what He left with those men. A peace that when you're reconciled with God, it doesn't matter what happens in the world. A peace that goes beyond any understanding. The Bible says, let me start here. It says, I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send Him in my name. He will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. And I know that a lot of those men face a lot of things when they get out. And it's the same for everyone in their Christian walk. When you make this decision, young Joseph, when you make this decision, there's going to be a lot of things that we face in this life. But God desires us not to be fearful, but to be strong and courageous in the Lord, to have that peace and to move forward in His Spirit. So bless you all. Thank you so much for your support and your prayers.
Thank you, Tyler. I might have to stay up here with this one.
What's that? Okay. A couple minutes? Okay. As we got there, we went into the prison, and as we went through there, you know, the first thought over me was, behold, I send you out as sheep among wolves, you know, because we were walking in this prison, and they're not near as, their security level's not near as high as in America, I guarantee you. There's no guards. They just let us go. Okay, y'all go ahead, and we're carrying this stuff in, and we're going all the way to the back, and we're passing the worst of the worst, you know. They have the solitary confinement where they're caged in, and people are yelling out remarks, and we're going along, and we were greeting everyone as we went. And as we got deeper in there, when we got in there and we saw the men, they were, you know, I was looking at all the men, and as I looked at them, some of them were just really checking us out, you know, like, what are y'all doing here, or what's this about? And they were worshiping as we worshiped. And as I watched them, they started, as we gave our testimonies that first day, when we started giving our testimony, and we told them, look, we've all been in prison too. We don't know exactly what you feel, but we know what we felt like when we were in your situation. And we know that God pulled us through it, and God brought us forth, and we know that he'll help you too. And they were sitting there, and we said, you know, we love you guys. And they really didn't believe that we loved them, you know, because who are we? But when I pulled this list out, this is a list of all the names. This was a master stroke. Whoever decided this to do this was great. It was ingenious. There's a list of everyone's name that's in that prison that we went to in that Tango One. And when I said, as I preached the sermon, I didn't know what I was going to, after the first day we did our testimonies, they gave us a group of men to follow us out and to break up into small groups in the afternoons. And I said, God, what do you want me to share with these guys? You know, and the first thing was make sure they're all saved. So I gave them the Romans Road bit. And all of them said, all of them really went through they weren't sure if they were saved. Some of them, and they, to me, they said, so I made sure they all had their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That was my first work of order. And then the following day, you know, they were, as I found out a little bit about them, I found out there were several murderers there. And they're not getting out. And I didn't realize the severity of the situation in these guys. And how do you instill hope to someone that's never going to get out, you know, probably. And so before I went, I was praying about what would I tell these men? What would I preach to them, God, you know? And God gave me Proverbs, you know, surely there's a hereafter. Surely there's a hereafter. I kept getting this, surely there's a hereafter. And I was like, well, you know, okay. So my sermon was on Surely There's Hereafter, and then the following day, that was Tuesday, the first day we gave our testimonies and broke up into small groups, and then the following day, Wednesday, as I was sitting there, I had all these pages of scripture I was going to get up there and preach on. The Holy Spirit says, no, you're not going to preach on that. You know, I was going to preach on anger, because anger was in all of my guys that were in my group. About six of them had anger, major anger issues that they were still harboring and didn't know how to deal with. And so I thought, well, I'm going to have to do some work on anger. I got some sermon stuff ready for anger. And then the Holy Spirit said, no, you're going to get up there and you're going to preach on what I want you to preach on. And he gave me all the message that he gave me. And I'm just going to give you right quick a breakdown of what it was, because it was of the Lord, and it was powerful. The Lord told me to tell them that surely there's a hereafter and there is hope. And that no matter what situation they're in right now, that God can remove them from that. And what they do in this life, they can make an eternal difference. And there are rewards for winning souls, and they can win souls in that prison. But it was great, and God is wonderful, and I'm out of time. Amen. I'll be back.
Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, the boy was hitting on it. He was not missing a lick. Brother Gerald was preaching. He couldn't shut the Holy Ghost get on. And it was flowing. It was flowing. Brother Jeffrey, we'd like to have you come if you could and share with us this morning, again, 25 years of faithfulness in the prisons. Amen. Amen.
This will be fine right here. I got about 1,000 words. That's all. It's going to be real short. First of all, I just want to thank you guys for your support, for the church's support. You don't know what it means to have a church backing you, supporting you, bud. I was preparing this message yesterday morning, and I just started bawling. And hopefully I can get through it without bawling too much. But I titled it Fulfilling God's Dreams. I just want to pray, God, just help me please to share this word without crying too much. And I just pray that you'd anoint it and back it up in Jesus' name. Amen. So fulfilling God's dreams. Do you know that God has dreams for your life? He has dreams for your life. Things that he longs to fulfill in your life and through your life. Casting Crowns has a song called Somewhere in the Middle. And one line in the song says, just how close can I get to the Lord? Or just how close can I get, Lord, to my surrender without losing all control? That's how we try and do it. We try and get just as close to God, but we don't want to give him all. We don't want to surrender at all. And that's what the song talks about. Just how close, Lord, can I get to my surrender without losing all control? See, that's our problem. We want to still be in control of our life. We want to call the shots. We want to do what we want to do. And as long as we are in that position, God can't fulfill his dreams for our lives. When I got out of prison in January of 1984, I paroled to Calvary Commission. I was 29 years old, and I had other plans when I turned 30 in November. I had other plans. And one of my leaders, John Ginty, heard about my plans, and he sat me down. And he began to talk to me. He said, "So tell me, you gave your life to Jesus, right?" I said, "Yes." "So how can you just pick up and go do what you want to do? Didn't you say you gave your life to Jesus?" See, Jeff, God has you here for a reason. He wants to prepare you for your service for him. But if you leave when you turn 30, you'll miss his plans for you. It's like the words of the song. We need to lose control of our lives and give God complete control. Then, and only then, can God fulfill his dreams for our lives. By the way, I listened to John Ginty's advice, and I stayed on. And next year in January, I've been with Calvary Commission 30 years. And I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I believe that God is fulfilling his dreams in my life because I have allowed him to have complete control of my life. Now back to the song where this message was inspired from. Listen to this line. With eyes wide open to the differences, the God we want and the God who is. But will we trade our dreams for his? Or are we caught in the middle? We're caught in the middle between trading our dreams for his dreams. Says with eyes wide open to the differences, the God we want and the God who is. See, our eyes are wide open to the differences. We know God how he is. We know how he is because of his word. But sometimes we make up a God the way we think he should be. A God that would allow us to do the things that we want to do instead of what we know that we should do. It's like a fairy tale God. Like the Rasta man, he makes up a God that'll allow him to smoke marijuana. Or like the Muslim God that allows Muslims to declare jihad war and kill thousands of innocent people in his name. But it's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God of the Bible. It's like the God that we want. And the God who is. God is a holy God. And he will not allow anyone to change him into some God that suits them. He is God. And he will share his glory with no one else. Then back to the song where the question is asked. That this is the whole gist of the message. But will we trade our dreams for his? That is the question we must all answer for ourselves. A question that will set the course for your destiny of your life. Are we willing to trade our dreams for his? Are we willing to trust God to use our lives for his glory? To use us to win souls for his kingdom? Because that's God's heart, to seek and to save the lost. To bring as many as he can into his kingdom. That's his heart. And he wants to use us to do this. But we will trade our dreams for his. Are we caught in the middle? Caught between living our own dreams and living the dreams of God? I believe some of us are caught in the middle this morning. Should I live my life or surrender totally to the Lord and live my life for him? Especially young people. You don't really know what you're going to do with your life. You don't know what to do. You're young, and you don't know if I should just go to college and get a good education and go get a nice job and, you know, trust me. Ask God what he wants to do, and he'll show you what he wants to do with your life. And it'll be so much better than what you choose to do. It'll be so much better than what you choose to do. See, the children of Israel were caught in the middle when Joshua spoke to them in Joshua 24:15. He says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." All I can say, people, is that you can trust the Lord. You could trust the Lord. You could trust the Lord. If you give him complete control, he will take you places and have you doing things that you can't even imagine. But will we trade our dreams for his? That's the question. Will we trade our dreams for his? I want to close with one final question. What would happen if Joe and Charlotte had not traded their dreams for God's? What would happen? None of us would be here doing what we're doing today if they wouldn't have did what they did. None of us. This church wouldn't be here. Teen Challenge wouldn't have ever been here. Calvary Commission never would have been here. This church wouldn't have been here. We wouldn't be sitting here today if they didn't do what they did. They have affected thousands upon thousands of lives because of their obedience. They had dreams, you know. They were in business. Foss's Fine Foods. They had a place right here on Gentry Parkway, and they had quite a few stores. And they were making money, and they were doing good, and they were involved in the church, and they were raising their four boys, and they had it going on. They were living their dream. They had their four boys. They just built a dream house on Highway 155. You can pass by that house every time you go to Palestine or Cofield or whatever. You'll see the house on the right-hand side. That was their dream house. That was they were going to retire in that house and live happily ever after. They had dreams. They had dreams. And then God spoke to them on a missions trip in Mexico. And they obeyed the Lord. And they put aside their dreams and began to fulfill God's dreams. They started the Teen Challenge ministry. And then a few years down the road, they started Calvary Commission. And that is when we all had our destiny change. When we came into contact with them. I personally am so glad that they set aside their dreams and began to fulfill God's, because it has affected my life and thousands of others. So you that are caught in the middle, make your decision to sell out for Christ, to trade your dreams for his, and watch what great things he will do with your life. You really can trust him.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, team. Bless the Lord. We all have a destiny in life. God has arranged that already. And then we have to take steps to fulfill that destiny. Some people take steps backward. Others take steps forward. I hope that everything that's been said today will give you that opportunity to say, yes, God does have a dream for my life, and I want to walk in his will. I want to be able to find out what he has for me. His first promise to you is salvation. His first promise to you is knowing him and then making him known to others. That may be in a variety of situations that God would have for you. But as we come to the close of our service today, I just challenge you to let the words sink in that has been given to us today that would make an effect upon our lives. And the altars are always open. There's always someone ready to lead you to the Lord. This morning, we want to take a missionary offering for this Belize mission for Jeff Ruby Nickel. And we want to give you an opportunity. Just wait a minute, guys. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. We need to pray over this. Okay. And we need to just tell you that if you want to make out a check, we'll make it out to the Church of Living Hope or just put CLH, and they will get all of this in the entirety. Jeff will be able to transfer this right into the kingdom of God in Belize. And he has continued. I was on the first trip and many other trips, but landed there in January the 1st, 1983. And by 1984, I took Jeff down there and left him. And he's never left to come back. He comes back to visit, but that's his home. He was willing to have little to eat, worried about how to pay the rent. First place that we had, I got up in the middle of the night and to go to the bathroom, and I thought I stepped on a pecan. When the light came on, it was a rat. I squashed his head. But he, sorry, you're about ready to eat dinner. But as he continued, well, God began to give him a vehicle, and he owns a house down there now, and his wife, give him a wife. But there's ongoing needs, and so you want to invest in the kingdom of God today. Just say, God, what do you want me to give this morning? I know we've had tithes and offerings already, and we've got a Gideon speaker, but let's pray. Lord, I ask you right now to honor all of these brothers that have shared today, and Jeff and the work of the ministry there. Lord, and the Belize Central Prison and the Freedom House Aftercare Center, and Lord, all of the contacts in Belmopan and all of throughout Belize, the people love Jeffrey. Lord, and I ask you right now to touch our people's hearts to give that they might be able to have an investment in your kingdom, in your kingdom work in Belize Central America. In Jesus' name, amen. Just obey the Lord. Don't go too